WZOO, the zoo, what you gonna do? Pablo Cruz this morning. It is 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Yeah, we'll get to that song here after a while. But anyway, we got to get to something else this morning. Dr. Stephen Ganey, like the truck lines, he runs late every once in a while, but it's okay. It's okay. We can do some catching up here. How you doing this morning?
Doing fine.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
with every fiber of my being, I sincerely hoped that last year at this time that we would never, ever have to bring this up again. But here we go. Okay. So we have highlights regarding our response to COVID in the 2021-2022 school year. All students will attend school for face-to-face instruction at the same time, 5 days per week. Cloth face coverings are optional for students and staff. Currently, no capacity limits in our auditoriums, gyms, and stadiums. Cafeterias will be used for lunch. No field trips or assemblies, and no school guests. All right. Pretty much sums that up, right? Okay. He's not going to answer me. I can tell you, he's not going to answer me. First question is this a fluid situation that we're dealing with now?
Yes, everything is until further notice as far as the restrictions we have, you know, and as far as, you know, the not using, not having school guests, not having field trips or assemblies, those things we'll be watching and assessing, and as time goes on, if we can do differently, we will. Also, one thing that wasn't included on that was the athletics and the extracurricular activities will be in. And they'll go as planned with normal procedures. So there are some gains compared to last year at the end of the 2021 school year. The first and foremost is children come back to school 5 days a week all at the same time. But some of the restrictions, you know, the board passed a resolution back on July 19 about cloth face coverings being the individual decision on whether to wear them. Staff or students have that decision. And, you know, that was a big move by our school system and just trying to move forward with COVID best we can, and we will continue to assess things moving forward.
Now, that decision was made, let's just say, relatively early, actually, as far as the optional wearing the mask or not wearing the mask. I have to ask this question, and I hope you understand that I do. It's been left up to the local school boards to set their own policy on whether to mandate masks or whether to not mandate masks. Now, I have some numbers here as of August 6th. So these are relatively new numbers, let's just say. I'm sure some of them have changed, but probably not significantly. There are 115 districts in the state of North Carolina. 54 of those have decided on optional masking, while at least 43 have decided to require masking in schools. And not all of them at this particular time had decided one way or the other if they were going to mandate these masks or they were not going to mandate these masks. But here's something that I found a little interesting, digging into this a little bit more. Of the 54 districts with optional masking, all but one, and that's Watauga County, was in the rural or the red areas that voted for Donald Trump in the 2020 presidential election. The question is, in your opinion, has this become nothing more than a political football?
Well, I've been asked that this week multiple times by media, and my job is to lead the school system, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And I also will say this. I've held on two issues since all this started and the vaccination started. You know, it's not my place to decide or not my place to get into the cloth face coverings or not. I'm going to respect you whether you wear one or not. I'm going to respect your decision. It's an individual decision, just like the vaccination issue. As I've told people, I'm going to love you whether you choose to or not to. And so my job will continue to be focusing on the leadership of the school system. And we're going to start the school year with the safety precautions we have in place. One of the things the board was very clear on with me in conversations was, we're going to go with this cloth face covering option. we can't just take everything off the table at the same time. So that's why you're seeing we're not allowing parents in the building during the school day. We're not allowing guest speakers. Now, I do want to say one thing in case parents did not see the video tonight. We are going to make a special exception for our kindergarten parents. Days 1 through 5, we are going to let those children be walked in by their parents to school. And for first grade parents, days 1 and 2 of the school year, we're going to give them that option since they didn't have a chance to do it last year's kindergarten parents. But, you know, back to your question, my job and my focus has all along been leading the school system and trying to maintain safety to the greatest extent possible. I am thrilled that kids are coming back 5 days a week. That is first and foremost in my mind what we had to do, and that's what our board has been working on ever since we were shut down on March 14, 2020. The goal all along is how do we get back to 5 days a week, and I think the work by our board and our staff clearly reflected that goal as we continue to move through last year. As one of the first school systems to come back in person, we came back the first day. So, you know, I have to, my focus will continue to be leading the school system and the safety of our students and staff.
Would not you agree, though, it's a little bit concerning, though, just for comparison's sake. Let's just take Guilford County, for instance. Guilford County, their vaccination rate is at 46%. They mandated an edict, I think it was yesterday, actually, that masks are going to be required again pretty much everywhere, in the restaurants, schools, et cetera, et cetera. Randolph County, we're at 38%, and yet we're going optional on these things. It seems the numbers are kind of going in the wrong direction.
There's a lot of statistics out there, and this is clearly a safety issue out there, and that's why, you know, as I said, one of the things we did was make the cloth face coverings optional, but it was very clear that we were not going to just take everything else we did to try to limit exposure to our schools off the table. And so those things will be assessed as time moves on, and whether, you know, as I've told the principals, all of these, you know, no field trips and all that will be until further notice. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, until further notice could be next week, or it could be November. But we'll keep working at it. There'll be no lack of effort on my part, or our staff's part, or our board's part, to stay engaged in this situation as we move through the 21-22 school year. But end of the day, one of the things I'm the most proud of, or probably the thing I'm the most proud of, is the fact that our kids are coming back 5 days a week. And, you know, some people may, you know, take issue with this comment I'm going to make, but the extracurricular activities are paramount for our kids. And they got those activities were just taken away from them on March 14, 2020, and they stayed away from the kids. The kids didn't have access to them for a good portion early, you know, as we started the first. We had off-season workouts last year this time, but the kids didn't have access to them. So I'm really excited to see the children get back involved in athletics and marching band and chorus, hunter safety teams. I mean, you know, you have the CTE competitions. Having those back for children, because you have children who do really well in school because of those activities. And those activities are what bring kids to school. Yeah, we can go in the classrooms every day and focus on academics, but children want to take those academics and apply them beyond. And anybody doesn't think academics are applied to an athletic field, they really don't know the whole story. It may look like they're applied more readily to a CTE competition, or maybe even to a marching band competition or a chorus concert, but academics is applied to all these extracurricular activities. And I just appreciate all our staff who do what they do during the school day for kids, but also the ones who spend time after hours with the kids in these extracurricular activities, because that was a bad day for schools across this country when those activities were shut down.
Certainly, absolutely. I think everyone would agree with that. Okay, let's move on to something else, something a little better, okay? Let's just do that. All right. First of all, we do have a new school.
Oh, yes.
In the county.
We have two new schools.
Two new schools. One with a new name, but we do have one.
We have three schools.
Three schools. There we go. Okay, let's hear about them.
All right. Well, we have a beautiful state-of-the-art facility at Trinity Middle School. We had the ribbon-cutting event. It was Sunday. Great event for the Trinity community, for the Archdale Trinity Zone. The backstory on that is that that community made Braxton Craven School, which was a sixth-grade school, in Archdale Trinity Middle, which was 7 and 8, worked since July 1, 1996. I'm just so happy for them to have this brand new school, which lines up with Trinity High School. When we name Trinity Middle, we have a process for naming outlined by our board policy. When that was named a couple of years ago, we turned around and said, okay, when that opens, can Archdale Trinity Middle keep the same name? We put the committee together, and they, about a year and a half ago, I guess it was, came up with the name of Wheatmore Middle, effective July 1, 2021. So now we have a Trinity Middle, and Archdale Trinity Middle School is now Wheatmore Middle because it will feed Wheatmore High School.
Right.
And Braxton Craven School is officially closed now. Mm-hmm. It closed the last day of June. And we have a virtual academy at Randolph. I mean, this is the one. I mean, I'm just so proud of our board and for getting behind this and taking the risk. You know, leadership is about risk at times. And who knew where this was going to go? But we felt like there was going to be interest. We felt like with the COVID-19 pandemic, there may be more anxiety, and we had nothing virtually like this for K-8.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The high schools have four options that they can make a child 100% remote if they need to or if the child wants to be, between Virtual Public School Apex, the iLearn program, and the College and Career Promise courses at the community college. But this is really great, and Justine Carter's the first principal of the school. She's been with us a long time as a lead teacher, an English teacher at Trinity High, assistant principal. The school's in great hands, and the last number I have, we have 161 children headed to that school on August 23. And I'm just so proud because of all the things we have been able to accomplish in the school system for years, even before my time. I mean, this school system has a long history that I cannot take credit for. I just have had the great fortune of inheriting it and getting to ride along with this school system. But to add this to our school system is tremendous. So we have 32 schools. Starting August 23. The college opened on August 5.
That's a lot of schools. Okay, now for someone whose kids have moved on, shall we say, and have become actually tax-paying citizens, when the school officially starts?
August 23. Now, on August 5, the early college opened because they're kind of lined up with the community college schedule. Mm-hmm. But August 23 is when the other 31 schools will open their doors, and here come the children, and this is going to be great. And they're all coming at once.
Once again, folks, stay tuned. It's a fluid situation, shall we say. And it is apt to change at maybe any time. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully things will go very smoothly from this point on. But you have to admit that most of the time when schools open, there are always some glitches, always. Bus schedules, I mean, there's a lot of different pieces that have to fit together here for all this to come about. So, and then you start throwing in a pandemic on top of that. And so it could be a very interesting beginning to this year, let's just say.
But the operation of a public school system is one of the most fascinating things you can be involved in.
It is.
When you get to meet you have these tremendous staff members in classes and principals leading schools, teachers, support staff, and then to know that every day you open 32 schools, we will open 32 schools, and the future of our country will be sitting in those schools. That's fascinating to me. The teachers get the front row action to help them develop their work. They're developing the future of our country, and that is fascinating to me. And I'm just so proud of our teachers and school staff for what they do every day. Because they do a tremendous job, and that's why these kids leave us and get the chance to do many things. They have multiple options when they leave, and that's something I've always pushed. When they leave us after high school graduation, let's make sure they have multiple options for their futures.
And I can tell you, as the husband of a former teacher, you're exactly right. They are definitely there on the front line. So.
They are superstars, and I wish everybody recognize that, but they are superstars in my book.
We should sign them to, you know, just big money contracts, right? Anyway,
yes.
Dr.
Yes,
Ganey, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate the spin. Dr. Tim Moody, thank you very much for coming in here with us today, too. Y'all guys take care, all right?
WCOO turns rush hours